I would say it's good for me to be here, but it's not good for Brian. I think Brian, he got sick actually while he was preaching this morning. And if you've never been a preacher or a public speaker, you can sometimes tell. I could tell when he was hanging on up here. And you ever see a preacher or someone hanging on? That might be a bad sign. Now, I'm not hanging on. I'm just, because he usually moves around, stuff like that. But he has some dizzy spells and vertigo problems. And so he told me this morning before I left, he said, you might want to pick you something out. So I went home, picked something out, and he sent me a text and said he didn't feel like preaching. So anyway, you got me tonight, and so you stuck with me. I'm a pinch hitter. And the text we read just a few moments ago in Hebrews chapter 6 tells us a little bit about something that should mean a whole lot to us as Christians, and that is hope. One of the things that I talk to people in the religious world about the Bible subject, especially when it comes to the subject of once saved, always saved. When I was a younger fella, they would tell me that, Randy, said, you folks in the Church of Christ just hope for eternal life. But I know I'm going to heaven. And there's a vast difference in knowing and hoping. And what you don't understand, and I don't think what they understood, is when you use the term hope from a biblical standpoint, that means that we know something. It's not something that we guess, but we know. We need to understand it's not something that we don't know and just hope for it. You know, many people use the term hope. Say, for instance, you hope you win the Publisher Clearinghouse jackpot. You don't really hope that. In the biblical word, or the biblical term hope, you might desire it, but you don't expect it. How many of you send those things in and really expect to win that whatever the jackpot is? I don't even do that. But I mean, if you did that, how many would you expect doing that? Well, you know, people play the lottery all the time. They don't expect to win, but they'll spend their money. They don't really hope for it. They desire it. Now, the other side of the question is, how many of you desire to get sick? Do you expect it sometime in your life? That we're going to get sick from time to time? It's something we need to understand what the Bible says. The Bible speaks of hope. In hope of eternal life. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul talks about this when he makes a statement, hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Notice what he says, two things about this hope. Is God had promised it, and God cannot lie. Now that's something I think we'll base this, what we talk about our hope this evening, is a very important aspect about God. The other thing we need to understand, it speaks of those who have no hope. Over in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 12, it talks about those who are not in Christ. Before they became Christians, they had no hope in this world. There are people who die without hope. There are people who live without hope of eternal life. And that's a shame. The Bible tells us over in the book of 2 Thessalonians, it tells us that we do not have to sorrow as those who have no hope. Those who have died and have hope, if you've ever experienced the death of a loved ones, that they were Christians, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's the sting of death, but you know they have the hope of eternal life. And so when we talk about hope, it's something we can have and something people don't have. But the Bible tells us the importance of hope, and I think that's what we need to understand. What does it mean to have the hope of eternal life? That's what I want us to talk to us a little bit about this evening. A little bit of our time. The first thing we need to understand is the meaning of hope. When we talk about the meaning of hope, it's desire with the expectation of obtaining what is desired, or the belief that it is obtainable. Use the illustration just a few moments ago. You play the Publisher Clearinghouse deal, and you send in your stamped envelope, and they say you're going to win, what's the prize, $25,000 or something like that? I don't know what it is, but it's... One, I think there's one thing on TV, you can win $5,000 for life. If you send in your address and number, phone number and all that good stuff, and then they have a record of you, and that's all they got, and they've got you then. But we need to understand, you don't really, you have a desire to win it, but you don't really hope for it because you don't expect it. I don't really expect, if I did that, I wouldn't expect to win it. And things that I've won in the past, I didn't expect it. It was a surprise. I was doing something not long ago, and I actually won a dinner at York Girls Cafe in Drasco. I wasn't expecting that. And I said, you just drew me because you knew me. She said, no, we assigned a number and we drew your number. I said, well, all right. So anyway, I won something. I wasn't really expecting it, but hey, they cook good food. If you ever went to Drasco, go by there and eat with them. But then the hope is something we see is a desire coupled with expectation. And that's what I want us to think about. The desire for something and expecting it. We all expect to get sick, but we don't desire it. We might desire to win that $5,000 for life, but we don't expect it. But when we talk about the hope of eternal life, how many of us want to go to heaven when this life is over? That's what we're talking about. That's what we're thinking about. We sing the song, I'm in the way of the Glory Land way. Are we in the way? We walk in the way. We live in the way. We're living in that way because we want to go to heaven when this life is over. We want to have eternal life. We don't want to live here forever. Now, there are some people who act like they want to live here forever, and that doesn't mean that we want to die right now. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Philippians chapter 1, makes a statement. He said, I have a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. But he said, I also have a desire to be here with you, which is more needful. So he had a desire to depart, to be with Christ, but he also had a desire to stay. And so, to put it this way, he had a desire to go, and he was ready to go, but he didn't want to just leave right then. And so when we talk about hope of eternal life, this is something we need to understand. It's not, I'm not sure, but I hope. It's not that. That's not what talk about heaven. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I hope I am. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what Bible hope is. It's not, well, I guess so. I've heard Christians say, well, I guess I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about hope. That shouldn't be the type of life that we live. And that's not the type of life that we live. And so what I want us to think about, when we talk about the meaning of hope, it's desire plus expectation. And there's a reason we can have the desire, and there's a reason we can have the expectation. The first thing I want you to think about is the basis of our hope. The first thing we need to talk about is the desire. How many of you want to go to heaven when this life is over? I don't think there's a person in this room that wouldn't raise their hand. I don't think I've ever had anybody, even people who are members of denominations, they want to go to heaven. It's just they sometimes just want to go a different way than God says. I don't think I've ever met anybody in my life that didn't want to live forever. Not here, but over there, where God is. Because our desire is to be with Christ. Our desire is to see Jesus. Over in the book of 1 John in chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 2, he says in this passage of Scripture, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we shall know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I get tickled. I've heard preachers, and I've heard older preachers. I know this one preacher that made the statement from the pulpit. The first thing he wanted to do whenever he got to heaven is go and ask the Apostle Paul what he meant when he wrote Romans chapter 7. That's fine, well and good. That's not the first thing I want to do when I get to heaven. The first thing I want to person I want to see is Jesus. I want to see the one who died for me. I want to see the one who gave his life for me. And I want to say thank you for the opportunity of being in heaven. I want to see Jesus. I want to be like him. I want to have the eternalness like he does. I want to be like him. We can do that by being like that upon this earth, but we shall see Jesus. And to be honest with you, and I've heard other preachers say they want to talk to the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter and Moses and stuff like that. There's no time in eternity. But you'll have plenty of opportunity to do that, I suppose, if that's what you want to talk about. But I don't think that's really what I want to be talking about. I think when we talk about heaven, we want to be like the Lord. And we'll be like the Lord. We'll be eternal like the Lord. We will be raised from the dead to immortality. The older I get, you know, My kids think I'm old. And Joe thinks I'm young. And Ron thinks I'm young, I guess. I'm younger than you guys. And some of you other folks who are middle-aged think I'm old. My kids think I'm old. I'm not old. I'm not even 60 yet. That's not old. And so, but the older you get, the more things don't work and they hurt. The Bible talks about that. You know what it's talking about? I did not know what this was until I got here. Not here, but physically, but where I'm at now in life. The Bible says that you remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. You know what the difficult days are? Just read the rest of the chapter and it'll tell you. It's when you get old. When you have a hard time seeing. When you have a hard time chewing. When your grinders cease. That means your teeth are falling out. All those things. Just read the passage. Read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the first several verses of that passage. It tells you, it describes life in the old age. And that's what it is. We need to understand. We'll be raised to immortality, though. Be raised where the Bible says there's no more pain, no sorrow, none of those things anymore. And so we'll be raised to immortality. And so we look at that and we need to understand that. That's something to be desired. We don't want to live here forever. The Bible says over in the book of 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter that we are like in a tent. And if you've been camped, I like to camp. And I've tent camped. I prefer the camper tent type of camping. But you know what I wouldn't want to do? I wouldn't want to live in a physical tent the rest of my life. How many of you would like to do that? We went camping back in August and took the kids and they were in a tent. I stayed in the camper. Brenda stayed in the camper. The kids stayed in the tent. They've decided they want to get something other than a tent. So they don't want to do that. But the Bible says over in the book of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, that knowing that this is our earthly house, this tent, this body is destroyed. We have a house or a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's what we're looking for as Christians. That's what we live for upon this earth for, so we can go to be with the Lord. It's said that whenever Robert E. Lee died, before his death, his last words were strike the tent. The reason is because he was leaving. The Bible says that Jesus dwelt in a body, a fleshly tent. That's what we dwell in. And we sing the song from time to time, this world is not my home. We're just passing through here. And this is where we're at. The soul of man is the inner part of man, the part of man that's going to live forever. This outer body is not going to live forever. It gets old. It gets decrepit. It decays. It's dying. From the time you were born to the time that your death or the Lord comes again, you're a dying person. And so we need to understand that we will be raised in immortality. Those of us who are Christians have that hope. And we have that desire. We need to understand there's heaven. What can you say about heaven? How beautiful heaven must be. The description we have of heaven that's written for us. And we can look at those things and our mind just really can't comprehend that. Because we are mortal beings. But notice what he says over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's where our inheritance is. It's in heaven. I always was really looking forward, not to when my grandpa passed away, but my grandpa had a long shotgun, 12-gauge shotgun. I shot that thing one time, and it knocked me down. And my granddad always wanted me to have it, and I got it when he passed away. It belonged to his dad, so it was an old gun. And he let me shoot it one time. We were out squirrel hunting. I didn't shoot the squirrel. I shot, and it knocked me down. And I didn't shoot it again. But when he passed away, I got the gun. And you know what I had to do to that gun? Had to clean it from time to time. I had to polish it up. Had to wipe it down. Because it was something that was defiled. Something that would rust. But our treasure is in a place where neither moth nor rust destroys. And so we can look and think of that. He said it doesn't fade away. And is reserved where? In heaven for you. How often do you think about heaven? How often does Christians do we think about heaven? It should be on our mind from day to day. Because we don't know when the Lord is coming back. We don't know that time. He could come back any time. He may come back before this service is over. We don't know that. But if we have the hope of eternal life, we have the hope of heaven, and we have certainly the hope to live forever. Now, do you want to live forever upon this earth? I don't think so. It doesn't get any better, does it? This world, the society, has it got any better in your lifetime? Is it a good place to be? No. But we can go to a place, eternal in the heavens, that will be forever in eternal life. And so the basis of our hope is desire. Every one of those things, we have the desire to see Jesus. We have the desire to heaven. We have the desire to put on immortality. We have the desire of eternal life. But how do I know I'm going to get it? Well, the basis of expectation. How can I know? Well, that passage we read just a few moments ago. Over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 6, he says that by two immutable things, that term immutability means that God does not change. He's unchangeable. And he has made a promise. And in Titus chapter 2, or chapter 1, verse 2, he tells us in that passage that God promised and he cannot lie. Isn't that a wonderful thing about God? The word of God is spoken. And when God speaks it, it cannot be changed. And it will not be changed. We need to understand that. The Bible says over in the book of Psalm, in Psalm 119, verse 8 and 9, that the word of God is settled forever in heaven. He doesn't change. Over in the book of Malachi, in chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says along that line that he said, I am God, and I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. There were several times in the Old Testament history where God wanted to consume Israelites. He had had enough of them. They had rebelled, and he wanted to destroy them. But God made a promise to Abraham that through your seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And that promise had not come to fruition at this point. When God spoke that to his people. I do not change. In other words, God keeps his promise. God cannot lie. That's something we cannot comprehend. You know why you have to sign contracts? Because man tends to lie, don't they? I don't remember this in my lifetime. And some of you might. Where you just took someone's word on a handshake. It doesn't work anymore, does it? Because man tends to lie. You know those black globes in Walmart? You know there's cameras in there. You know why they're there? Because they don't trust you. They don't trust me. They don't trust us. They don't want it. But we can trust God. Now try to wrap your mind about that. That God cannot lie. And he promised these things before the world began. In Hebrews chapter 6, he says in that passage of Scripture that it's impossible for God to lie. Because of God's nature, it's impossible for him to lie. So when we talk about eternal life, God promised it. He will keep his promise. And he's not going to lie about that. He can't. It's impossible. So how can I expect that? You know, when you send that envelope into the publisher clearinghouse, you don't expect to win that $5,000 for life. I think it's for a week for life. $5,000 a week for life. But you don't expect that. But I can expect eternal life because God said I can have it. How many of us believe Mark 16:16? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Folks, that's not a command. That's just a simple statement of fact. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from his sins. Who said that? Jesus. That's a promise that he made. And God, if he's God in the flesh, he cannot lie. We believe that. He says you can have a home in heaven if you're faithful to him. God said that. He cannot lie. And we can expect that. There's the word of God that is given. There's the promises of God. Over in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says that God is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, or long-suffering toward us, because he desires all people to repent. God may not keep his promise when we want it. I think we had this discussion the other night, that's in his time. When God, you know, we sometimes want to do things in our time. And we want God to do things in our time, don't we? But he'll do things he wants to do in his time. The reason this world is still going, it's not because God is slack concerning his promise, but he wants all people to be saved from their sins. But the promise of God is still as strong now as it was back in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We should understand that. No power in heaven, on earth, or hell can ever nullify or set aside a decree or promise that God has made. God told the children of Israel in that passage in Malachi, I'm not going to destroy you because I made a promise to Abraham years ago. That promise hasn't been fulfilled as of yet. And I cannot change. And that's the God we serve. And that's the God that promised me and promised you that you could have eternal life when this life is over. God's promises that sustains our hope is conditional upon our obedience. And that's something we need to understand. There are promises that God has made that's unconditional. Say, for instance, over in the book of Genesis in chapter 8, verse 22, while the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. There will be cold and heat. There will be basically what he's saying is while the earth remains, there are going to be all the seasons that take place. That's unconditional. I have no control over that. But he's made promises to me that I can have eternal life, that if I'm faithful to him. He made a promise to those folks in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10, that they're going to go through tribulation for 10 days. But if they're faithful even unto death, I'll give you a crown of life. It's a promise of God. But what did they have to do? They had to be faithful. And I have to be faithful to him. Over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says along that line that though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. God will give me heaven. He'll let me have the hope of eternal life if I obey him. What happens if I don't obey? God is under no obligation to keep any type of promise he's made to me if I'm not faithful to him. And so we need to understand that these promises that God has given us is certainly, certainly conditional. And then the basis of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just as sure as Christ was raised from the dead, we can know that we will be raised from the dead. Notice what he says in our passage in 1 Peter chapter 1. He said we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have to believe in that fact. That Jesus was raised from the dead the third day. And there are some people that have a hard time putting their minds around that. And they don't believe that. But we have to believe that in order to go to heaven when we die. Because that's part of the basis of our hope of eternal life. And so we can expect it. There's the desire. And there's the expectation. We desire for heaven, and we can expect it because God said so. But what's the value of it? Well, it creates patience. I've learned to be patient in my older years. You have to. If you don't, you're going to have a hard time. You have to learn that. It's something that you learn over years. I bet if you ask my children, they'll say I'm a whole lot more patient now than when they were growing up. I wasn't very patient with my kids. I'm a whole lot more patient with my grandkids. And they'll attest to that fact. But I mean, that's part of life, isn't it? But we learn patience. It takes something we learn, and we develop it. But hope helps that. Turn over to the book of Romans in chapter 8. In Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 24, the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that what we're talking about, in verse 24 and 25 of that passage, he said, "For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one hope still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience," or perseverance. We're waiting on heaven. And we wait on it, perseverance and patience, endurance. It helps us get by with the burdens of life. It helps us bury our own dead. Like I said just a few moments ago, when those loved ones pass away, and they've lived a faithful life to the Lord, and they have the hope of eternal life. Yes, there's the sting of death because we don't get to be with them any longer. But they have the hope of eternal life. And that makes that a little easier when we think about it. It keeps us steadfast and sure. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6, he talks about that. He says we have an anchor of the soul, and it's hope. Have you ever been in a John boat? A John boat's a 14-foot flat-bottom boat going fishing. And I've been out doing this in the springtime. And many times you're out there, there's a spring storm that will come up. And you're sitting there catching fish, and you're not paying attention to the skies, and all of a sudden, you're in a storm. But what you do is you always make sure you have anchors in your boat. And you drop the anchor at the front, you drop an anchor in the back. And that boat, no matter how rough the water gets there, and believe me, there's a couple times when me and a buddy, we were out there, me and Jackie Teague was out there one time, and it blew for a long time. We didn't think it was going to ever stop. But we tied the anchors down, dropped them down, and you could tell when the wind was blowing, those old ropes, they would just pull like that. And it held us. We didn't go anywhere. Now, we were hanging on to the sides of the boat. We were hanging on. But we were okay. That boat didn't go anywhere. And that's the same way it is with our hope. Notice what he said. We have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. It's a hope that we have. But ours is cast into heaven. And faith is the rope. And as long as we hang on to the faith that we have, the hope that we have that's in heaven, no matter what trial that you might have, no matter what adversity you might have, that rope and that faith, it may be tested and it may pull and it may strain, but it's going to keep you in place. It's going to be the anchor of the soul to keep you sure and steadfast. That's the value of hope. It keeps us sure and steadfast. It keeps us on the road. It keeps us in the way of the Lord. It's a reason to rejoice in God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Open the book of Romans in chapter 12, in verse 12, he says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. But he says, rejoicing in hope. And that's what we ought to. We are a Christian. We are people of God. And we ought to rejoice. I've come to say this from time to time. And this is not original to me. You've probably heard it too. But I know some brethren that were born in the objective case, in the indicative mood, and they were weaned on a sour pickle. That's their attitude in life. Everything's against them. I know Carl was smiling a while ago when we were singing. We ought to be smiling when we sing about heaven, when we're praising God. Smiling at the thought of heaven and going there someday. It keeps us rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, the Apostle Paul would say. And he wrote that from a Roman prison. What was he doing in another prison one night at midnight, him and Silas? They were singing, weren't they? Why could they sing? Because they had the hope of eternal life. It keeps us looking forward and not backwards. Too many people look back. You know the story of Lot's wife. We don't know her name. But we know what she did. God said, don't look back. She wanted to look back, and she did, and she's a pillar of salt. And you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, remember Lot's wife. Because we look forward, we reach forward. The Apostle Paul would say in the book of Philippians in chapter 3, verses 12 through 20, we reach forward, we press forward. And we forget those things which are behind us. When I was a pup preacher, I shouldn't have done this, but I did. Back there was a lady that was sitting just about where you sit, David, in Marshall, Arkansas. And every morning in the sermon, it didn't make any difference who was preaching. The clock was in the back, about where the exit sign is. And she would turn around and she would look. And so me and another brother, we got this smart idea that we'd just make us a sign and put it under the clock. Remember Lot's wife. That's what we did. We taped it up behind. Remember Lot's wife. And that Sunday morning, she turned around and she looked. We never said who put it up there. Never said a thing. It stayed up there a while too. And she stopped looking back. But too many of us, we start looking back and we dwell on our past instead of our future. Brothers and sisters, we have a future and it's in heaven. Where Christ is. Where God is. Where we can be there for eternity. And we can sing praises to God for all of eternity. To be honest with you, I'm not going to really be interested in what Paul wrote in the book of Romans when I get there. Are you? We're going to be interested in praising the Lord and being with Jesus, but it keeps us looking ahead rather than looking back. But how do I obtain this hope? Well, the hope of promise. The Apostle Paul said he was being judged for Agrippa because of the hope of the promise except for the hope's sake. He had that hope. He valued that hope. He was being judged by that hope. And ultimately he was killed as the other apostles were because of that hope. But he held on to that hope. And it was the promise. Remember what we talked about this morning in the sermon over in the book of Genesis in chapter 12 that was referred to, that God made a promise to Abraham that through your seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. And so that promise, keep in mind that it's fulfilled in Christ Jesus, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. And you keep this in mind also. God promised and he cannot lie. And he does not change. And he's going to keep his promises to us. One in Christ can be the one who has his hope of eternal life. Over in the book of Galatians in chapter 3, verse 29. If you're Abraham, if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And I can have that hope which is in Christ Jesus. And I can stand just as the Apostle Paul in the hope of eternal life. God promised before the world began. Do you have this hope? You can have it this very evening by doing the things God wants you to do. Jesus said, he who believes in his baptized shall be saved. You'll be saved in all the many blessings that you can have in Christ Jesus. We can have in him hope of eternal life.
Most valuable thing you and I.